The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Arty Girl podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here today with two very exciting guests to talk about Subtropic Film Festival, Noelia Rubino and David Hamzik. Thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So we've got a lot to talk about. I've got a lot of questions, some for you as individuals, some for you together. Basically, I would love to start with a little bit of background, though. So both of you have been involved with the festival for quite a while. Noelia, you want to start us off and kind of tell us how you got involved? You're now the director and started as a co-founder. So give us a little history.
Yeah, so I had a decent amount of time with the Miami Film Festival. And then Jose, the co-founder, was telling me about this film festival that he was trying to start here in West Palm Beach. And just the idea of something being, you know, so baby-ish, like, it was very interesting and I had a lot of curiosity for it. And yeah, it was just a matter of like seeing the venues and the spaces and meeting some of the artists, including David, and seeing a lot of potential for an actual like independent film festival in West Palm Beach.
It's exciting to see that growth come up, right? So, yeah. And David, you're wear a lot of hats, director, filmmaker, pretty much every aspect of filmmaking, it seems you get into acting as well.
Yeah, try to.
Yeah. and you've been involved with the festival for years now. You grew up here in Jupiter. Mm-hmm. So how did it feel kind of getting into this scene, as it's been built, like the early stages of something?
It's actually so awesome to see where it's gone. Like in the beginning, so many things have been tried to start up here, and it's hard because we didn't really have like a solid creative community, but there was so many talented creatives around, and we'd always try to start these little groups or these, you know, and just it would fall through. And to see this one stick, and it's with film, and it's in West Palm, and it's showcasing West Palm and the beauty of West Palm, and it's awesome to see someone like Noelia to come up from Miami, who has a background with Miami Film Festival, and like just make this thing grow, and like just to be a part of it and to be asked to like have films and a place for my films to be shown, it's been really cool.
Yeah, you've screened multiple films over the years, right? Mm-hmm. So last year, I saw that it was Dear Florida was a film. Yeah. And then this year it is the Beach Towel Art Show.
Beach Towel Art Show, yeah.
Which if people don't know what that was, give us a little rundown.
Beach Towel Art Show was this awesome idea where it was like, where can you, the tagline and the way I'm going to start the film is someone, it breaks it down really well. And it's like, where can you have an art show that's going to only cost you $40 in materials to get a towel and get your artwork printed on it, and then have an amazing venue on the water in South Beach, and it's Beach Towel Art Show. So it's an awesome concept because it's like, Basil's insane. It's so much money, and there's all these big galleries, and what are the big tents that pop up? Yeah. And it costs so much money to get into them, and it's this big display, and here's this big giant gathering on the beach right behind one of those big tents, and it's like it's for free and everyone's having the time of their life.
I love it. There's a major accessibility to it too. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like you said, some of the bigger satellite shows that happen around Basel. Regardless of the cost, there's also, getting artwork somewhere as opposed to,
and it's the locals,
it's local.
It's the local artists that are able to just come with a beach towel and lay it on the sand and be part of the show.
And this one was kind of like a group project, you said, this film.
Yeah, this was Brian's idea.
Yeah. Correct? And Brian is our poster artist.
Oh, fantastic. Festival. Okay. Yeah. We've got the poster set up behind you guys. I love it. Little alligator on there. And okay. So Noelia, as the director of this festival, you're working, you've got great partnerships. You know, you're working with the Norton Museum, the Cultural Council. Tell us how it's been to have some of these bigger partners, you know, support this event.
It's been amazing, of course. It's almost like a dream come true. You know, I remember our first meeting with the museum and just telling them, you know, we have this film that we would like to screen in your theater, when they had never done that before. And just introducing the space to film screenings. I think it felt like something that wasn't going to happen, but then the doors just kept opening. And I think it's just a testament to West Palm Beach being ready to have something like Subtropic in their space, but also South Florida coming together to create for Subtropic and for us to immediately be able to put it in a place like the Norton Museum. And I think that that's where we as a festival feel like we're giving back to the community in that way, but also at the same time, like engaging and educating the audience in our area. So yeah
it's been and maybe magical. Sparking some inspiration for future generations who are thinking about getting into filmmaking, right? Like we talked about a little bit off camera about, you know, the early days of what kind of drew you into it, what aspect first inspired you to get into it. So maybe let's talk about that. What were the like spark moments for both of you that that really brought you into filmmaking first?
Like I was saying earlier, it was just seeing, I was talking about my friend Brandon Kuzma, who's a videographer, always up to date on like the newest technology that's coming out with the cameras and stuff. And my friends and I always had this desire to act. It was just this thing that we were so into. I think the first film that made me want to be an actor was like Free Willy. Because the kid was so cool and he's like, he had this cool life and he's like friends with the whale. And I'm like, man, like, how do you get to be in Free Willy? And I always pictured like a man and a woman, they're like agents and they show up to your house and they ring your doorbell and they go, hi, would you want to be in like a movie with a whale? And you just say yes and you go. That's how I thought it worked when I was a kid.
Is that not how it works? I still don't know. No,
they never came. You actually have to like go and find them. But, so there was always this, and we went to like middle school ER, it's in Dreyfus. We were visual artists, but still like just, I remember sitting in the cafeteria and the first time hearing someone talk passionately about a film, that stuck with me for a long time. And I remember there was drama majors sitting at this other table and I heard them say, oh, you have to see Taxi Driver, the Scorsese film. And the way they critique, I've never heard someone critique a film or speak about it as it's like this very like high end, just amazing thing. And it made me be like, okay, Taxi Driver. Next time I go to FYE, I'm going to find Taxi Driver and see what they're talking about. And that stuck with me for a long time. Just the effect that a film could have on someone. Because before that, there was none of that. I wasn't thinking about movies like that. Movies were just entertainment, you know? But they did something to me. Like I saw Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid and that had a huge effect on me. Like I didn't know that I could be an actor or a director. I just wanted to be in that world. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a spaceship smuggling spice from planet to planet. Mm-hmm. But as you get older and you realize like, oh, there's all these roles that go into play to like make these films. And you start to sort of gravitate towards one of those. And for us early on, it was acting. And then when our friend got this camera and filmed us goofing around and we saw the quality of it. And I was like, oh my God, we look like we're in a movie. We dropped everything. We weren't doing that much at that time. We were like, it was like dazed and confused. We were like early 20s, like not knowing what to do with ourselves. But that whole week, we just tried to make like an Apocalypse Now in the woods in Jupiter Farms. And terrible acting, no storyline, went nowhere, terrible gags, but it looked cool. So we got to cut a trailer with cool music, but we just ripped, you know, no copyright. And the trailer, I remember the way we made the trailer with like not using all the crap that there was, but just the good little highlights of things. Like maybe I got out of the mud and I did this look and like, okay, we're going to cut that in there. And then next comes the, you know, oh, here comes a rain fire of bullets. And then, so we were able to like fake that we made something good with a trailer. And I remember that was like where the first time of like editing and like pulling people in sort of like sparked in my head. And that was fun. And I just, yeah, that's where it started, was just knowing that, oh, we could have access to things that could allow us to do that. Cause like I said before, it's like, where do you go to sign up for this? Like,
yeah.
What school do I go to? What classes do I take? Where's the roadmap to being able to be an actor? There isn't one. Mm. And it's literally like doing it yourself.
And having that like source of collaborative energy around you and your friends, amazing. That's yeah. huge, right? Yeah, because it's one thing if it just sparks something in you and then you know, find yourself kind of putting together all these roles. But when you have a group of people, I mean, that's why something like this festival has got to become so powerful, right? Because you're adding to that energy, to that collaborative space, to the interest, to the passion, getting to have more of those conversations or even just overhear them of people talking about, man, I saw this film or I was a part of this project and this is what it led to. And it's just the sharing of ideas that keeps us creatives alive and like bursting with more.
Things start moving quicker when there's more people involved.
Collaboration is key in filmmaking. I mean, and a lot of art related projects, but filmmaking, I think it's like, you have to.
Yeah, you can't do it alone. You have to be a team player, right?
You can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Was there like a spark moment for you, something that got you into it early on?
I think for me is more holding that space for the storytellers and just being in awe with like their reaction to seeing themselves like looking at this thing that they made and then watching the audience react to it. It's my favorite part of it. And I experienced that when I was volunteering at the Miami Film Festival. I was part of their host committee, so I would be paired up with directors that would fly in from different parts of the world. And, you know, they would tell me their stories and then I would go and take them to their screening and just see their reactions again. And them having like, tell me like, come sit with me in the back of the theater so we can like actually see what the, you know, what the audience is going to experience. And I just remember in that moment being like, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's necessarily behind the camera, but I feel like it has to be in some space, shape or form with this type of medium. So yeah, I still do that. I still sit in the back of the theater during the screenings or walk my way back there. And I love it. I love to watch the reaction of the audience and how they connect to what's on the screen and then to immediately follow it with a Q&A with the director and having them, you know, open up about their project and share, you know, a very intimate process, which is, you know, filmmaking can be very intimate too. And just that whole experience to me is very powerful and needed to continue to inspire filmmaking in South Florida.
Absolutely. Connects people in a different way. So let's talk about like the structure of the festival, right? It's a multi-day event. Mm-hmm. It's happening at various locations. There's screenings, Q&As, workshops. So give me the lay of the land on how that kind of runs. Yeah.
So we're opening night at the Norton Museum with a film called The Python Hunt. We are including artists into the space that are currently working on the Everglades or projects that relate to the Everglades. And then we're doing an after party at TW Fine Arts Gallery. The director of the film will be there with some subjects from the film. So we'll have the Q&A, we'll, you know, do all of that. And then day two and day three is really where we focus on a lot of our short blocks. And this is really fun. It's fun to put short blocks together. We tend to do it a little bit different than some festivals. We focus on themes or feelings instead of like, let's just put a bunch of documentaries together or a bunch of animated films together. So I think that's really a different experience if you were to come to our festival and experience our short blocks. We do have workshops, yes. We have two workshops. We have a workshop with Throwbacks Film. They're bringing film cameras and they're teaching people how to use them and then they're letting them go out and shoot with them. And then we get donated footage from Kodak Film Lab and then we give them back to the filmmakers. And then we have a second workshop on Sunday with Aflux Studios. And this is more on like the digital cameras and cinematography and lighting. We have panels. We have a panel with different film collectives in South Florida. So for those that are interested in joining film collectives because they might be a little too nervous to like start the experience with just their friends. So they need to join a collective and that will be available for them to learn about them. And then we have a panel on curiosity in filmmaking, which we're hoping it sort of inspires filmmakers to follow a subject that they're curious about and make some stuff. We want people to keep making things here, you know, and we want to screen them. So that's really our focus with everything from the programming to the workshops to the panels.
It's got to be so encouraging to the filmmakers, you know, in this area and South Florida that you're creating these bridges for people to connect, to be supported, to find ways of support, whether that's through screenings or through getting into a community where they have, you know, creative ideas and places where they can actually get, you know, some, I guess, hands-on kind of, you know, involvement.
Or just meeting each other, right? Like bringing, you know, filmmakers into a space and sort of, you know, like they have to be at A-Flux Studios, right? So they get to meet each other. And I think that was always a very cool concept with the festival is how do we bring Miami filmmakers and, you know, the creatives that you guys have here and sort of like blend those worlds in. And then, of course, you have people from Broward too, but just how do we bring South Florida together from a film aspect, right? And I hope that when we continue to do that, I think David can speak for himself on like, I know there's producers from Miami already like nagging him to like work on things. So, you know, it's working to a certain extent at a very local level. But I really do think local is very powerful right now.
Why do you think West Palm Beach is a good stage for that? You know, why is it working here where you have this growth that you can develop this festival?
I think art institutions like the Norton, for example, are a little bit more open to that type of programming where you have museums in Miami that are already invested in some of that programming. I think, honestly, it's just getting people away from the craziness of Miami and bringing them to a space that does feel a little bit more like a beach town. And you know, it's beautiful and everyone's nice and I think that it was just the idea of getting people out of Miami.
I think it's the perfect little nook of a city. Like you got the Norton and then for a minute, you could walk to the beach if you wanted to in like 15 minutes. That's awesome. And like, Miami's very spread out and it's a little bit more hectic, but it's kind of like this little secret getaway up here. I feel like in the potential for filmmakers to want to submit their films just based off like the scenic part of it and the location and the things that you could do outside of the festival. Like, you know, if you're a filmmaker from like North Dakota, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to Subtropic and like hang out on the beach and go to a tiki bar and do all these little like cool Florida things where it's like, you could do it all in one little section and not have to like get an Uber and wait in Miami traffic and do this and do that. So I think it's like that. Just location wise, like the potential for it is like, it's, I always joke around and say it's like our little mini Cannes Film Festival. Like, I don't know.
It could be.
I love it.
You know, it's got the yacht up there.
The yacht club, right? Like, it definitely could.
Yeah, you guys are having a red carpet premiere, right? Yeah. Like, that's part of the Norton
museum. Like the biggest museum in West Palm.
The Norton's amazing. It's such an incredible museum.
So, all right, we heard a little bit about your perspective at like an opening night or a screening. What is your perspective as a filmmaker when you have, you know, your project being screened? What is that like?
That is, I love, like, for me, it's almost like a release, like a relief. Cause I'm not going to show the film if I'm not happy with it. So that's already there. Like I'm happy with the film. It's going to be shown and it's a time to share it with my family and my friends. And the most important part for me for premieres is like doing the family outing part about it or, you know, outing with your friends or someone who's in town and getting dinner after or before. And just, it's like the war is over. We're just going to like relax tonight and enjoy this evening until we start the next battle, like tomorrow. I love that part of it. And it's, you know, doing it at the Norton, it's got this like really classy feeling to it. So you get your good shoes on and your nice jacket and you go and it's fun. It's like, I love just, there's a vibe in the air when you get to do something. And like, this is a smaller town, so there's not always something going on. Mm-hmm. It's not like New York City or Miami. It's like, oh, there's something going on.
Yeah. This is a moment worth celebrating.
And everyone comes out and you see people in line waiting to go into the screening that like, you're like, oh my God, they came. Mm-hmm. And oh, there's it. I love that. Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
definitely
my favorite part too.
The social part of it is cool, which it's like, I wouldn't say that for anything else, but for this, it's cool. And then just hearing people talk about the films afterwards and maybe someone coming up to you and saying what they thought about it. Like that stuff really means a lot. It's really cool.
I love that. And yeah, that again, that kind of energy, I feel that similarly to when I, you know, attend art festivals and exhibit my work. I'm happy with what I've created. It's there, but now I'm just there to like talk to people and engage with people and then go out to dinner with my family afterwards and be like, survived that weekend, had a great time. The work was the work. You know, you've put tons of hours into it in advance and now you just get to like enjoy the party. Hopefully.
The best feeling in the world for an artist is the mixture of satisfaction and relief. It's like you're satisfied with the work and you're so relieved it's over. And like that combination is like such a good creative high.
It's a high.
And you just like, I had a high like that once on a movie set where like a scene went really well. And I remember like laying in bed being like, this is the most comfortable I've ever felt going to sleep because I was buzzing off this. I was so worried about that scene because it was like an emotional scene and it was over and I was satisfied with it. And I was just like, oh, this is what it's about.
That like deep soul satisfaction as an artist.
It really felt like there was a something with my soul was going on. Like it was spiritual. And I was like, oh, now I'm addicted and I'm going to have to chase this. And well, it's not a bad addiction to have, but
it's one of the good ones.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Subtropic has already hosted dozens of events. I mean, this is like not just West Palm Beach. You do collaborative things as well. Screenings, like we talked about, the workshops. I want to know about like one kind of wow moment that you've had that you're like, wow, this is working. We're onto something here.
Yeah. I think our idea for going into 2025 was to start these like pop-up screenings and sort of not just get our name out, but the idea of taking the films that we screened at the festival and sort of carrying them through the year at different venues and putting them in front of different audiences. To me as a festival, I don't know, you know, if it's the kosher way, but to me, I feel like that's my job, right? Like to keep on putting these films in front of different audiences and putting these filmmakers in the spotlight. And I think the wow moment is happened a few times during those pop-up screenings where you have people from the audience that come up and they're like, wow, like this curation was amazing. Here's my card. Come screen in New York, right? Or bring these films to New York or bring these films to my museum, you know, like that. And then from the film community being like, wow, Noelia, you're actually, you know, Subtropic is taking a step further into the screening aspect of the work. And not just during those 3 days, you keep on elevating our work throughout the year. And to me, that was, that makes it worth it.
Yeah, that feedback from artists is such a great thing because you know you're onto something when they're like, yeah, this is what we've maybe been missing a little bit of is somebody who's kind of being our champion and in our corner and, you know, has the connections, the ability, the wherewithal to say, I've got this place. I want to connect you with these artists.
Yeah. Let's do something together. Pop-up. You know, we can't offer money yet. I hope eventually we can, you know, give out grants for people to make films. Like that would be amazing and have a category for, you know, these filmmakers. That'd be so cool. But for now, that's what we can offer, right? We can offer these connections to the venues and make a thing of something, right? That's what we can do. And that's what we decided to do for 2025. So. Yeah.
And I think that's huge. I think a lot of times when you talk to artists, whether they're filmmakers, visual artists, any genre, really, one of the biggest needs is just, I need a space to show my work. Yeah. It's not necessarily the financial support or other aspects. I mean, all things, you know, are needed to make a successful, financially stable artist. But the biggest one tends to be, I just need somewhere to show. Mm-hmm. I need somewhere to engage and to like get people aware that this thing exists.
Yeah. And just feedback too, right? Feedback, connections. You never know who's going to be in the audience. You never know who's going to come up to you on the creative side, on the financial side, mm-hmm. And offer you the next gig. So yeah.
David, another question I had for you as a filmmaker and somebody who is in kind of all aspects of it, how does being, you know, actor, director, getting into both of those roles, how does that affect your storytelling?
I think it's helpful. It gets things moving faster. Mm-hmm. So if I want to write a story or something, I'm going to cast myself in it, mm-hmm. and then I can just get to work on it. Mm-hmm. And if I keep it small, it can move along. And I have a good group of guys that I work with all the time. So that's like really the most helpful part right now, still working on like a small scale.
Yeah.
Is to just hop in the acting seat and just let's get this thing made and then move on to the next.
Yeah. The ability to get right to work.
Yeah. For sure. That helps to get the film itself, like just out there.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean,
side quests, though. You need some side quests. I try to convince him to do side quests with me all the time.
Yeah, I like side quests.
What are some of the next side quests we're trying to get into?
A side quest.
We're going to go to, what is it? Fantasy Fest?
Fantasy Fest in Key West.
Side quest in Fantasy Fest? Come on. Yeah. I love it.
Like, can we have a cool documentary about Fantasy Fest?
Yeah. Please.
Right?
From, like, different, so fun.
From different perspectives, like following different characters. Any
excuse to go to Key West.
Yes.
Truly. So, I love it. Yeah. My perspective, I painted for years in a window during Fantasy Fest or sometimes on the street,
amazing.
Depending.
See, we can get an artist perspective. Yeah,
so you fun. To watch all love going down there, popping
you
up.
For it.
Sure.
You can come down and paint something.
And I can paint again. Yeah. I miss it. And the themes, like, it's just, I love seeing all the creativity around that because, you know, they have a theme every year.
That's
and
what
so,
I was telling him. Like, there's like an art part
that
to
majorly,
the festival
yeah.
that
majorly.
I think
there's
would be
like
really
a,
cool to capture.
It's a moving set that's mm-hmm. happening that people don't realize. It's not just kind of chaos and costumes and or nudity a little bit.
Right.
You know, that all exists.
No,
too,
there's a deeper layer to
but
it.
But there's, there's a lot more true artistry that happens. That's really
I think
fun
it'd be
to
the
see.
Cool, like, side first, quest. Like, subtropic produced.
It would be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Can we please have some money for that?
Thank you. Let's work on that. Yeah, because I like this idea.
Yeah. Please, whoever's listening to this.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a side quest. I think side quests for creators is important to
have. I'm very pro side quest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm somebody who professionally does one medium, painting, mm-hmm. and I have, a theme that I've landed on that I really enjoy that aspect of it, but I have a million other little side quests that I get into that I have to kind of,
side quests to keep you off the couch.
To keep
you off Netflix, to keep you off the couch, keep moving.
Keep me from doom scrolling. Really, that's what they keep me from.
Exactly.
Okay. So, film festivals, right? A bit like films themselves. There's probably some chaos going on in the background at some point or a little unexpected things. Are there any moments behind the curtain that you feel like sharing about? Because, you know, as something, especially in its young stages of a festival.
Drama.
No, I mean, there's so much, but I'm going to keep it PG. We had... So we got beers donated to the festival and we didn't have any coolers to put them in.
Oh.
So we had the wonderful idea to put them inside garbage cans and put a bunch of ice inside the garbage can and just tell people to go into the garbage cans to grab some beers during our happy hours. It was fun to see it. I think pictures looked really cool.
All the years.
I think this year is going to be the first year that we're like, okay, team, we need coolers.
Somebody get on coolers.
Someone
this
please
year.
Get on coolers. We had people be like, so I went to grab a beer and then it was actually the garbage can and I just reached into garbage or the opposite, right? People were throwing garbage into the beers. So, you know, just then we realized, wait, garbage cans, they leak. So now we have all of this water in the soundstage where there's all of these cables everywhere.
Lots of equipment going on. Yeah.
So yeah, little things like that, like times 1,000. I think we had last year something happened with our screen. It something happened where it torn or something, like when they were putting it up. So they had to order a screen last minute.
I remember
shipped.
That.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
lots of like nerves hours prior to opening doors for day two.
Yeah.
So yeah, this year we are screening out of an LED panel. So we have some high tech.
Nice.
To avoid the
to avoid lesson learned last year.
Lesson learned.
And I'm sure it's like that every year. And even on filmmaking, I would assume on so set. Too. Like the process on set is
it's
how creative do you get to fix the problem? That's really how
It's what's that that's that Murphy's Law. Anything that can happen will happen. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. It's like you could go out to do the most simple thing, like an example. We're going to go to Du Bois and film one of my friends sitting in a beach chair doing some lines, but they're bringing extra sand in that day. So there's a dump truck with the beep, beep. And then you're waiting for that. But then like families start to show up and then you got kids that are like screaming and crying and you're just sitting there and you're
or
like,
or every engagement photographer in Jupiter is doing a session that morning.
Engagement pictures.
Oh, it always happens. And you're just like, in the moment, I hate it. I'm like, I hate doing this. I don't want to do this.
You're like, why do
but
I
then
do
I do
this?
It again the next day.
Yeah.
Because the result, like keeps you into it.
Yeah, it was one of my guests on here. I'll never forget Matt from FAU. He has a theater lab, which is a really cool program in conjunction with FAU. They do like relatively unknown plays, or they might do performances of plays for the first time there. But he said something that crossed into any artist. I feel like if you don't try to quit at least five times, you're probably not a real artist, because I think you just have to have that little bit of edge of insanity of like, this drives me crazy, but it's also the thing that I'm kind of living for. So I can't not do it.
Yeah.
Even just being on set as just an actor where I just have one job is just like, it's hilarious when you look at it in hindsight, like the things that go wrong. And like, we were on set one night and we were only shooting at nights and we had a limited time to shoot, like 2 weeks or something. And, you know, we couldn't miss a night. Like, it couldn't rain, or otherwise we're going to, you know, people had to leave like literally the day after we wrapped.
That's a tall ask for Florida.
So it did rain one night. That was terrible. We shot well over past our, past 4 a.m. And then there was another night where there was a helicopter searching for someone. So we couldn't record any sound until, there was nothing you could do about it. Like with the rain, you could like kind of like get by and go under something and, you know, wipe the leaves down, or it keeps spraying the leaves because we continue shooting with the rain and the reflection on the leaf, like just little things like that. But that helicopter, it was just hilarious seeing like the misery on like the filmmakers' faces. Is like, they have no control over this. And it's just,
and if
like
it's
for hours looking for someone, and it's like, for me, I'm like, I'm gonna go rest. I'm gonna go lay down. I'm tired. But that
I can see that this is spark of an idea. Like, okay, somebody just go confess. Just please
say it was you.
Get the helicopter out of here. All those little variables that are just unknowable until the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's only so much planning that can go into, especially a live event. You know, there's only so much planning, and there's no fixing in post. You know, like, it's going to be what it is. And there's no editing. It's just, it's at the end of it, I guess that little thing that you were talking about, satisfaction with relief, like that moment for the team, at least for the festival team, comes right after those 3 days where we're like, okay.
Then you might put everything into something and it not doesn't turn out the way you and that happens a lot too. Yeah. That happens more than the other way around. Mm-hmm. So it's like dealing with that and just like to keep on going after that, to to get it right the next time. Mm. So it's definitely a battle.
Yeah. For sure. It's just all the puzzle solving we do as creatives exactly. in general.
Yeah.
Right. Finding that next little piece that completes it mm-hmm. or, you know, destroys moving it. On to another jigsaw. Yeah. Yeah. Moving on to another jigsaw entirely, maybe. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, your background is here, grew up in Jupiter. How do you think that like this area shows up in your work maybe as like a character or like how does that yeah, thread show up through your films?
I grew up here. I didn't see anything special about this place growing up because it is just what everything I knew. It was, you go to the beach on the weekends, there's palm trees, mm-hmm. cool, it's hot, there's rain. And then I wanted to get out of here so bad. So as soon as I could after high school, I moved to New York City and I lived there for a long time. And I would come back to visit in the, like, it was the first time I felt homesick about a place. Mm. And it was the first time I like noticed there was different smells and just feelings coming back that I was never aware of. I had to have them contrasted with something like completely opposite, which is New York City. And completely started to like become proud of being from Florida. And it just became my muse at some point. And I romanticized the hell out of it. Like I would be in New York and my friends in New York, they'd be like, hey, are you going to Florida for Christmas break? Whatever. Yeah. All right. Can we come? And I would like make these itineraries and these like schedules of what we're going to do. Cause like, I wanted to show them the best time ever. So I'd curate like the best trip to Florida and it'd be like, all right, this day we're going to go to the mall and we're going to go to this store and that store. And then we're going to get kicked out. Cause we're going to like throw this thing in the fountain, but then we're going to go to this like dock and we're going to sit there and we're going to hang out and look at the palm trees, like the weirdest little like descriptions of things. And like, yeah. then we're going to go to a house party and then we're going to do this. And we're going to go on Christmas. We're going to go to the movie. Like, just the things that I love. And like, we're going to go water skiing, weird things like that. And that like passion for it transferred over into the film side of like visually telling a story. I started making films so I could like put locations in it. Really. Mm. It's like, there's this house. I know they're going to knock it down at some point. Cause they're knocking down everything that like looks and feels special and has some bit of history or culture to it. And I just started like, it was like almost a urgency to like, all right, we have to come up with a scene. The easiest thing to come up with is like, let's do comedy. Cause that's what we were naturally good at. So let's do a skit, but let's do the skit in front of this yellow dilapidated house. And that's kind of like how we stitched our little like I Am Sus episodes together. It was just, I remember someone in LA was like, where is this place? Like, this is so, I've never been to a place like this. And it's just like, well, we're curating it to make it look like it all looks like that. So if this person leaves the yellow dilapidated house and turns a corner, we might drive all the way to Fort Lauderdale to make it look like the house next door is this blue one with like a dolphin mailbox in the front. So it's just like stitching it together and making it seem like this cool, surreal subtropic world.
Yeah. Your vision of Florida. I like
that. Yeah, it was my vision of Florida. And at the same time, there was this like national interest in Florida and all these other filmmakers sort of like honing in on that sort of style of it. A couple of years after we started doing that, like the Florida Project came out. And it just like the whole Florida man thing, like Florida's wild, crazy, this and that. And I'm like, everywhere is crazy. There's crazy people everywhere. But Florida just looks so different and feels so different from the rest of the country that it gets that little, you know, I don't know how you would say it, just isolated off from like the rest of everything else, that it only happens there.
Right. Yeah.
Probably the contrast too, right? Like paradise, backgrounds, it's the paradise. It's crazy characters.
Mm-hmm. It's the contrast. Yeah. It's surreal. It's very surreal. And I just was like, well, I'm from here. I'm in the middle of it. I'm literally the spawn of a Florida man. Like I've been location scouting my whole life. And so with that interest of wanting to make films and act, it was like, I'm leaving New York and I'm going to start making everything in Florida. And that's, I remember the very first Tropic Film Festival when I screened Where's Roger That?
Yeah.
I won, an award for that. And I remember getting on stage and I did this speech and I was like, you know, I was going to leave, but I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. I'm going to make stuff here. And I'm like, yeah. I remember the net, like a year later, I was like on a plane to LA, like I'm going to move to LA. Screw Florida. But people were so hyped and like reposting that. And I was like, man, we was like, we just got to make it work. And this film festival is like helping with that for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. So it's good. Like that's what gets me so excited about it is that I'm seeing it grow. I said it in the car over here. It's like so cool to see it like growing and like really good filmmakers wanting to screen here and having the Norton as like the place that's like today you had a filmmaker that was like, I want who's doing the opening film.
Yeah.
Like I want to like go look at the Norton and like see where it's going to be like screened. And yeah. I was like, that's awesome.
I mean, it is an incredible venue. It's a world-class museum that we have here in the West Palm Beach.
Is so insane. The movie theater is so, it's cozy and it's so elegant looking. Mm-hmm. And like, you feel like when you do the Q&As, I got the cool little mid-century modern chairs and furniture and you feel so like, yeah, I'm doing a panel.
This
right
is like
now.
I'm doing a Q&A. Yeah. It's happening. Yeah. I love that.
It's funny.
How many films are actually being screened this year?
I think we're at 65 now.
Oh, okay. What is that application like? How does one submit to this and how do you curate that selection?
So, well, we opened submissions, I think last year we opened them like in December and then we closed them in August through Film Freeway and we curate from that. So there's, you know, a group of people from the film community that watch these films and then, you know, they give us their feedback and then they get pushed into another area where other group of people look at it. And then eventually we curate the blocks once we select the ones that we want to screen. There is some sort of theme. I feel like every year we've had some sort of theme. This year is definitely, you know, a strong focus on the Everglades.
Yeah.
And that sort of carries through a bit with the short selection. But yeah, that's really the process, you know. It's a little bit of reaching into the community as well and asking for films, being like, oh, we feel like your film would fit our program. Would you be interested in screening with us? So that kind of programming also happens. We had open calls. We had open calls for when we did our Miami Film Festival partnership where we had our own shorts block there. And then when we did our partnership with Three Points, we screen that during Three Joints. So we had open call for that too. So that has allowed us to sort of like tap into different filmmakers that aren't necessarily like your festival filmmakers. Mm-hmm. You know, they're more your artists that are venturing into film.
Okay.
So we were able to get some really cool stuff from that.
Yeah. So with the theme you mentioned, kind of, you know, Everglades is being highlighted this year. You've got the Python Hunt is the opening night, right? Premiere. And then The River of Grass is another film that features Everglades. Is that something that you specifically saw more of coming up in the films or that you really wanted to reach out and grab and feature?
No, it's very organic. It's just keeping a finger on like what people are making, what artists are making. And there was definitely a strong focus on the Everglades and just from an environmental point, but also from everything that's happening in the Everglades.
Yeah.
So to start getting stuff like that, just kind of for us, it feels like we're literally just programming what's being made right now. Like right place at the right time kind of feeling because it is our backyard.
Yeah.
This is our Everglades is, you know, where some of us went on walks and grew up in. And I think it's just really cool that we get to do that in a space like the Norton, but also in a space like Aflux. And just, I think it's awesome that we're able to have that theme happen this year.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Absolutely. I've never been to the Everglades.
No way.
I've never been. I don't know why.
No, this is maybe going to give you some inspiration to go.
This might be. I know. Yeah.
It'll open up a side quest.
It's come on. Yeah. And it's like, what, 40 minutes away?
Yes.
Yeah, something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to do that. And I've never been to a spring.
Oh, boy. Those are two big Florida side quests.
I know.
Yeah.
Those are little day trips I could do on my own.
Easy.
The ones in Gainesville, I heard. And I went to UF and I never went to a spring. Yeah, and the ones up there apparently are the best ones in Florida.
There's some incredible, we have the most springs, certainly in the States, but like the cold springs that we have, it's the most densely populated area of springs in Florida.
That's wild. It's such a beautiful.
The environment is so different. I mean, it still has a Florida feel, but it's just a very, very unique feeling to that landscape.
Yeah.
Every time I'm up in that area, it's a side quest for sure. I've done multiples where I have arranged like painting deliveries just knowing, okay, I'm going to hit this park and that park and that park. Because if I have to drive to Tallahassee and back,
might as well.
I might as well. Yep. Like, it's worth it for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
our state is, you know, as wacky as it can be, it has a lot of really cool stuff. And it's exciting to see people, you know, that people are coming from other places to shoot.
Yeah.
In the state of Florida.
Yeah.
So like, why can we do it?
And the Everglades is magical. And I'm excited to hear it and see it because it is one of the landscapes of Florida and of our country that is not maybe as understood. You know, people know what the beach is. Like everybody's comfortable with that. Mm. That's a feature of Florida. We love it. It's gorgeous.
We can move past it. We
totally understand why that is a sought after landscape to feature. But the Everglades is really, really something that's completely unique and just, deserves a little bit more.
It's the most unique ecosystem in the entire planet.
So, and one of the most rare ones, right? Like, and it's getting more and more rare, which don't love that.
Invasive species.
Yeah.
No, we hope that some of these films really do kind of like light up that libel in some
people. I'm sure the python's going to be a big one, you know, that's a very dramatic kind of sounding, you know, just the title of it alone, the python hunt is dramatic. Mm-hmm. But I think when people see the impacts of invasive species and know that like, this is a big part of habitat, you know.
Yeah. And I think also the way that the director chose to tell that story without being too like issues, you know, like documentaries tend to sometimes be like, this is the issue. And then we're going to, this is very like, it's like a stylistic type of like approach to it. And there's very, it's character based and it's a little bit edgier than your typical, you know, documentary style filmmaking. So I think doing that to capture the audience attention to a subject that like a topic, like what's happening in the Everglades, I think that's really something cool to celebrate. Like we should be celebrating that and bringing more people.
Worth the feature for sure. So I'm excited to see it. All right, we're going to take just a little quick break and hear a word from our sponsors, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. So stay tuned, check out some of their amazing features, and we will be right back.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces, spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
All right. So definitely want to talk more about like programs and experience of the festival. The workshops, you're literally letting people shoot on film stock. What's the magic that you would say of film versus digital, and how do you like to, share that?
Have you shot on both, right? Yeah, you shot on both.
I haven't made anything personally on film. I have shot on it. I shot, messed around for the Beach Towel Art Show thing. I don't know what it is about it, but there is just like this look to film, and you could hear many people online talk about this. There was a certain point where, there are directors that are keeping it alive today. The big spectacle directors, like the Christopher Nolans and the Tarantinos, they're shooting only on film. They're only going to shoot on film. And, you know, those are the movies that like everyone's going to go to the movie theaters to see. And that's keeping that medium alive. So it's just, I don't know, if you watch a movie from the 90s, you know, you watch like Boogie Nights compared to, and if you're paying attention to those things, which a lot of people don't. So that's kind of why it is like, it could be like a dying breed, but like an artist or a filmmaker sees it. And there's a certain texture to it. The way the lighting is, the way the coloring is, just like the feel of it is so different than like, let's say like a crisp, like maybe over color corrected like 2010s movie that like could have been this great piece of art if it were, you know, shot in that same filter. But I don't know, like I don't really know how to, because I don't even understand like the science behind it of how it works. But like,
okay, then so do you ever get into the workshops that are happening? Like, no. Is that something that you ever enter into? I would,
for sure, for sure, absolutely. Like I know I could probably actually explain it to you, but would sound really bad like right now off the top. So,
but I hear what you're saying, and I think that's something that I can see not with a trained eye whatsoever when it comes to film, but there is a texture, seems like a good word for it.
The way I just explained it was probably if you showed it someone who isn't into film, but everyone sort of has a reason why they like something. Mm. If you show two different films to someone who has no idea about like what goes into it, they might explain to you a feeling based a reason why, like, I don't know, that one just feels more like I like the look of it. They might say something like that. And that's kind of like really how, as far as I can explain it, is just, there's just a look and a feel to it. Maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe like my nephew's 10 right now. Maybe when he's my age, he'll be like, oh, I love that look of Transformers in like 2015. Like that's my nostalgia. So, you know, and it's something like magical to it too. It's like, it's image being like burned onto celluloid, and there's this cool process.
Yeah.
And it's like how people love vinyl again.
Well, I wonder if it's sometimes maybe too a part of the, like a physical part of the process, like having to, again, I don't,
money.
Like there's,
there could be more mistakes. There's less takes, you know?
So I think obviously film is expensive, and to shoot on film, you kind of have to have like the idea already good to go. Right. So when you're shooting on digital, you can shoot a bunch and it's not going to cost anything. You can just have all this footage and then
you can
get
as many takes as you want. And then you can put a filter over it that looks like film.
True.
Yeah.
But with film, you don't, you have X amount
and
you got to make sure you get that shot in that amount of film that you have.
So there's a certain level of pressure that's applied to yourself, to your crew,
especially
your actors,
nowadays,
like
because it's like a niche thing to do it now, and it's like, oh, they're gonna shoot it on film. Back in the day it was like that's what you're shooting on, so they're gonna pile in the film stock and they're gonna give it, you're gonna have it. But if like I always was like, I'm only gonna make my first feature on film, and it was like, that's never gonna happen. Like it would be too much of a risk. And I think it's something to work towards to be able to get to the point to where, okay, I got this dialed in. I'm going to shoot after a few projects, okay, I'm going to shoot on film. I'm going to do film. And then if you get to the point to where you've made some things, a studio or a network would be like, let him have the film. We like what he makes. That'll be a cool thing to add to the marketing of it, like shot on film or something like that.
It seems like something, depending on where you're at, it could either impose too many, too many, like too much tightening of the creativity. Or if you're in the right space, it could expand it and kind of force you into something really special, but it maybe has to be at the right moment for that creator.
Yeah. I think with the workshops, at least it's just, the curiosity of like, what does it feel like to hold this vintage camera and hear it when you're shooting with it, and knowing that you only have like 15 seconds because you're sharing the role with like eight other people. And, even the guys from Throwbacks are always like, they get everyone before, they break them into teams, and they're like, all right, like, make sure you know what you're going to shoot, because obviously younger generations, even our generation, we're used to just shooting on digital. And again, it's very disposable in a sense. So I think that type of focus with something, like you said, it could be good or bad. I think it's worth the experience for an artist.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And also saying about digital, if it weren't for digital, I would have never made anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never have made anything.
Yeah. The accessibility is equally important.
Absolutely.
That you can have disposable, that you can, it gives you the opportunity to make a lot of mistakes at a low cost.
Absolutely.
And that, you can learn from, and then get to the place where it's like, oh, I can invest more into my art form now because I have the skill set, the whatever it takes to, you know, to take it to that next level and raise your medium
and,
a little bit.
And you, actors can get excited about it. Like, oh, we're going to, I'm going to be in a film that's shot on film, or, or people could be like, oh, he wants to shoot on film. What an artist, you know, like, you can go both ways.
Yeah. I love that. So with the, you know, workshops, with the screenings, who is the audience that you want to pull in? Who do you want to bring to this film festival? Like, who do you hope shows up here?
You know what I like when I went to Gramps, they were doing the, what were you calling those?
Last Call Cinema.
Last Call Cinema.
Yeah.
And you would see some
little film series out of a indie like theater inside a bar in Miami called Gramps. Yeah.
Nice.
Shirley's was the name of the bar, the theater.
You would see someone, you'd see everyone, you know, walking in, and the people that you know are going to be, and then you'd see someone walk in and you've never seen before. And they're like looking around and making sure they're in the right place. And then they go up to the ticket person. They're like, oh, and they're, you got your ticket. Oh yeah. You got my ticket. And you're like, that person saw this post and just by themselves were interested enough to like purchase a ticket and get in their car and drive to this place without anyone with them and go sit. And they sit there and they watch all these films. And you're, that is the coolest thing to me.
Absolutely.
Cause you're bringing in someone like that has nothing to do with the circle of it, you know, and that more of that.
That's super special and exciting. Yes. Yeah. Truly. Like that's a moment of like, oh my God.
And then they might even at times, like they'll come up and say something to you and like, that's that they're on a side quest right now. And they're, you know,
looking to get inspiration. They've
probably never went up to someone and been like, oh, I really liked that film. Like that, you know, they, so this is the first, I think that's awesome. Just they're wide eyed, you know, and they're kind of like, well, I'm in this new environment. I like that. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's a little portal, you know, film festivals are a little portal. So I hope that anyone can walk through it. That would be great. I obviously we hope for artists to come and use it as a way to get inspired or to connect with other artists, but also for just your average audience person. That's like, what can I do on a Saturday night or, you know, on a Friday night or on a Sunday evening? Come and watch some indie films, films that are being made by people that live where you also live. And most likely you'll connect to some of these films because you might know the background, you know, like you might be like, oh, that's there. Like I walked through there. I drove through there. Right. Or you might connect with a theme or a feeling. Maybe you'll cry a little bit and you'll realize like you've been holding in that cry for a while and you just needed to watch an indie film made by a really angry a student, you know, and you had to let out that cry. And I think that that's really the audience that we want. It's just we want that open-minded audience. You know, we want those people that are going to walk through this portal and experience the curation of the festival for what it is and just be down for the ride. Like, that's really it. Like, be down for whatever, you know, you're going to feel.
Yeah. Now I know you said is it 2 days and the premiere night or is it just?
Yeah. So it's opening night. It's just that one film.
Yeah.
Python Hunt. And then the other 2 days, it's where a lot of the shorts.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and now so we have six blocks each day.
Are there Q&As involved with everyone?
With every short block.
I love that.
So after every short block, we try to keep our blocks very digestible. Okay. So we keep them under 45 minutes. And then after that, we'll do a Q&A with whatever filmmakers we have in attendance and people in the audience get to ask questions and engage. And then after that, we go right into another block.
Okay. This is such a corny question, but is popcorn involved?
Yeah. Okay. We're actually looking for a sponsor. If anyone wants to sponsor popcorn, please reach out.
Okay. So I'm thinking like, you know, we're going to come have this experience. I'm going to get like, I'm going to need a snack at some point.
Yes,
like,
Yes. There's going to be Mariquitas. Our friend Gabe, a filmmaker, is going to be sponsoring Mariquitas. Those are the plantain chips that are delicious.
Delicious.
So if you don't want to do popcorn, you can do mariquitas.
Okay.
But we will have popcorn. We've had popcorn every year. Nice. We get a popcorn machine. We get some of the students from G-Star that are volunteering.
Okay. Okay.
Make popcorn.
That's right. I do remember there was a popcorn machine at the Peach when you had a screening there. Yeah, that's right. It's a good part of it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love some popcorn with their films?
Got it.
Oh, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about... still more questions. Make sure. Let's see how we're doing on timing. Cause I know I can get off on tangents. okay, we talked about the Everglades, and I love that. I don't remember if we talked about this prior to recording, but I love that the Norton is featuring some visual arts component this year as well. I think that's really cool and a nice collaboration of them that's featuring some local artists as well. So that's just opening night. That's like kind of one of those moments you don't want to miss because that's something that's really special.
Absolutely. We were super, super excited to get the green light for that. We have people from the museum involved with the curation as well. So it's just going to be great. And it's so cool to bring people from the community into the space like the Norton Museum and have them say like, you know, we're showcasing our work at the museum. Like, that's cool. And for us as a festival to be able to do that, meaning we're stepping out of like the film medium and bringing these artists
into expanding this
and expanding it really does feel like an art festival. And that's cool. We're excited for that. We're excited that we got to do that.
And maybe a little unexpected branch that's just grown off this tree that is cool to see. Cause you know, you're giving an artist the opportunity to say, I have exhibited in the Norton Museum.
Exactly.
And that's a pretty big credit. Mm. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's why it's definitely something that we hope that even if you can't get a ticket to the screening, because it might be sold out, then I still encourage people to come and just, you know, take a look at those artists that are going to be in the space for just that one night.
I love that. Yeah. And this is a part of their Art After Dark, right? Is it that night, which is already like a great environment to be in. Such a cool way to experience the museum. So
yeah, they're going to have a live band in the garden, our curation in the Great Hall. We'll have our step and repeat there with a red carpet, and we'll have photographers there. We'll have a bar. So yeah, it should be fun.
It's a big moment.
It's a really good night. It's a good venue.
What do you hope that people like, is there a kind of takeaway that you hope that people have, you know, whether they come to the premiere or they come to some of the other events? What's something that you hope they experience?
The power of local filmmaking.
Yeah,
for sure. The power of local artists, right? Period.
Period. Thank you.
Period. Mic drop. But yes, that's what I would want people to experience. To see that you don't have to. Yes, we love our international artists, and you know, of course, but we have a lot of amazing talent here in South Florida, and we're just really excited to elevate them and for people to come and see that. Yeah, these are our people. So
yeah. I agree.
Yeah, that's a fantastic answer. I love it. I love it. I did want to ask David, you about your film last year, the Dear Florida film, both kind of a love letter and a critique of Florida.
Yeah, I think a critique on like the changes that are happening. They're good and bad. Yeah. You know, the remodeling of it and not being replaced with something that is of the same, you know,
depth of character
as the thing before. You know, it's like I say, I have this little Instagram I called like Cozy Palm Beach. I make these little cozy core videos of like little nooks in West Palm or
I love this. I have to find this. What, Cozy Palm Beach?
Cozy Palm Beach. Okay. And the description in the top of the Instagram is like, before everything turns into a gray square. Cause it's like, I live right downtown, so I walk around a lot and I'll see an old building get torn down and then like just this gray box pops up with like weird fake marble paneling or something. And I'm just like, oh man, that sucks. I don't like looking at that.
Yeah.
It's like that. I don't know why that is. I guess it's because it's cheaper to make things to do them like that. But there's like this thing where like it's not important to make a building like impressive anymore, I guess, or the look of it, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was a critique. Really just a love letter to all the different people that are from here. And it was like a thank you to like this environment that made me who I am, flawed and the good sides and the bad sides, you know, because it all contributes to, you know, the story. So no, that one kind of came out of nowhere. That was just, I don't know, that it was like it just happened, you know, wasn't planned. That wasn't planned at all, that film.
Just an organic, no, it was creative it was, moment.
It was me calling him and being like, do you have something I can screen at the Norton?
Yeah. And I had, originally it was, I put together that footage for like a concept trailer for a film that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And then when she said that, we can't really show a trailer. It needs to be like a film. I went and did all those interviews in one weekend. Mm. And so I was like, okay, I have some interviews. They said some things that were like really on point with like what I wrote in that script. So the footage was kind of there. And then I spent maybe 2 weeks editing that and just listening to certain songs, and just this thing kind of like formed, and that's what it was. And then the tornado hit us, hit my house. And that was the last thing I added to it, was the tornado. In the very beginning, a tornado hits our house and you could hear us. We're in the closet and you could hear the tornado hitting. And I was like, oh yeah, it's perfect. And I remember I was
such an artist, man.
I was waiting for
such an artist.
I remember I kept texting them saying like, I'm waiting for a really good sunset. Cause I haven't seen a good sunset in a long time. Like,
yeah, you're waiting for a public sunset, remember? You're
yeah, like, I'm waiting in the public for a parking public lot.
Yes, I remember that.
Because I would see like really good ones, and I just don't have my camera on me.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen I saw this sunrise one time when I was on the bus from Jupiter going to West Palm to Middle School of the Arts. And we were getting on 95, and I remember seeing the sky, and it was like biblical. It was the most insane beauty that I've ever seen on this planet, and I'd never seen it again. It was just the right amount of clouds in the sky. It was the right amount of temperature, whatever storm was rolling in, and the lighting. I've never seen it again like that. I don't think I ever will. It was so triumphant. It was like, just like the gates of heaven were just like parked right off the beach. Yeah. And I wanted to see if I could capture that.
Could find something like but that.
When the tornado hit, because the hurricane didn't even hit yet. It was the bands hitting us. And everyone was coming to our house to check on us because we got hit pretty bad. And this insane, incredible sunset happened right after the tornado. And one of our friends that was over checking on us had his cowboy hat on. And there's a shot of this like cowboy in front of this incredible sunset. And I remember like the film was due like the next day or something. Oh yeah. Cause we were worried that you were gonna have to cancel because of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was happening like
last year. It's 2 days you before can't control.
It. Yep. 2 days before it. And I remember that was the last clip I added to it. It was the tornado and that, you know, just like this, you know, I could have just kept making that film.
Yeah.
Like it could keep going, and I have filmed some stuff, but like that can just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And you, like the, what could be shown in it would be, I don't know, there'd be a lot of interesting things. It could just keep going.
It's one and of those things. And no it has end. Such as a series or something.
It has
you know?
Such a like, cool reaction from the audience. Mm,
yeah.
When
it
we,
does.
We screened it in Miami and people were like, what?
Like, yeah, what it's guy? Just a, there's no real story. It's just a feeling of what, what does it feel like
it's
to
like
me
a poem
here?
To me.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, maybe. Yeah. And it could, it was just like the right pressure of time. I was like, hey, can you make this? And like, all right. And then it's like, this thing happened.
Yeah. And a very like honest Florida moment that sounds like it really needed to be included. Like, that's cool that it
and
just
it, like the way I was feeling in life at that point in time making it. Cause I might've made something that was more funny, you know, at that point. But yeah, there was a lot of like, you know, personal things that happen and some loss in the family. And that's what we got. Was that it was cool. Yeah.
I remember your text message when you were like, I think it's done. And you like he sends it to me and I'm watching this and I'm crying. And I'm like, why did like you did that? Like you just like did that without permission, you know? Like, and that's when I was like, yeah, we definitely opening night. Like sure.
Yeah, that was a cool night because I got to bring my nephews in it. He's a little boy reading the narration. So I got to go on the red carpet with him, dress him up. And he came up for the panel, but he was scared to death.
Cute,
and they were asking him questions and he would just go.
Oh, I love him already because I feel for him.
But when he said, hey, do you want to go up? I was like, because he's so shy.
Yeah.
And there in the beginning, he's like, okay, maybe. And then when they called us up, I like had to go up to the top back of the theater to be like, to go to my sister and be like, does he want to come up? And they looked at him and he wasn't talking. He was like, do you want to go? He's like, he wanted to go.
He wanted, like, it was important to him. There, was yeah. Like, the determination honestly, to do that.
It was so cute. Cool. And having him, I mean, he's in all the photos for that Q&A.
So I think that's maybe a part, because I was trying to find a clip of it to watch. And I think that's a part of the clip then that I saw with your nephew. He's in this room with like beautiful muraling all over the walls.
That was a room in my dad's house. Yeah.
It's a beautiful space. Like so cool.
Some set for a thing we shot years ago.
Yeah. It was a really cool space. That's awesome that you get to weave in those moments with, you know, with family, important relationships too, that it sounds like it's just such a, maybe this is the way you do it. Maybe it's for filmmakers in general, that it's really interwoven with your life. It's not a separate identity or, you know, something that's over there. It's really in your life.
It took me a while to like have the courage to involve like people in my family, because before it's like, you want to make something separate. The UFO crashed over here and we're going to go invest, like stuff like that. Yeah. And then the more it took more courage to like have my nephew read these kind of like heavy things and to me be like, maybe I shouldn't do that. That might be awkward. That might be like kind of difficult. So let me just do something different. And I was like, no, just do it. Just do the thing that's making you feel like a little heavy and just plow through it and see what comes of it. And I'm always thinking I'm burdening people, but like he was so excited to do it. Yeah. And my sister was so excited to have him do it. And, you know, I always think like I'm bothering everyone if I want them to be involved, but they all were like waiting to be asked that I realized, which is like, so beautiful.
So cool. And that's got to be such a special part of what this event means to people.
Yeah.
Like if you talk to people afterwards, you know, or even prior to, the excitement that they get to be involved in building something, whether it's because they're, you know, designing the artwork for a poster, or even if they're sharing it on their social media page, just because they're excited about it, like the aspect of community and giving people the opportunity to get involved and not just attend has got to mean so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like the fact that you're building something, you're bridging communities, you're asking people to, you know, kind of build this with us a little bit, as opposed to just.
Yeah. We've always said it too, you know, like we wanted this to be a filmmakers film festival. And I think there's still a very strong aspect of that. Yeah. And I hope that remains, you know, no matter how big we can get, that it remains that. But yeah, I think in anything, community is super important, but in filmmaking, especially.
For sure. So speaking of community, there's a question that I ask everybody who comes on this show, which is that if you had to name one, could be an event, could be a place, could be like a public piece of artwork, something related to arts and culture in Palm Beach County or South Florida, like if you live here and you haven't experienced this yet, you need to do it. Or if you're visiting here and you haven't gone to this spot yet, you need to experience it. So can you each name me like one thing?
Mine would be Cato's Bridge
in
Jupiter. It's just like this little slice of heaven. Yeah. The water there always stays relatively clear, even during low tide, because it's like doesn't get the brackish water coming out. It's just, I take people there that aren't from here, they're visiting, and they're just like blown away. Yeah. And the snorkeling and the going down to the pylons and the little sandbars all throughout it. And it's just like, whenever I'm away for a long time, or, you know, I didn't realize that was a cool place when my dad used to bring me there when I was a kid, and he'd snorkel and sitting in New York, and I'm like, whoa, that place was like pretty incredible. Like, whoa. It's like people vacation where we grew up and live. So Cato's Bridge is like, that's my happy place.
I can't wait to hear after your side quest to the Springs happens. I'm very excited.
I think
he's
going to be mind blown.
I really do too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Noelle?
Well, I think for me, I guess I'll stick to an experience. I think the Beach Towel Art Show was really cool. I haven't felt community like that with like artists especially in Miami, where, you know, things can be a little bit rougher around the edges. So it was cool to see people come together for something like that. Yeah, people should definitely experience the Beach Del Art Show.
That's a good one. Yeah. I heard of it last year, I guess, was the first time I'd heard of it. And I want to check it out.
Yeah, bring a towel.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to I gotta get some artwork printed on the towel. Can I paint it on the towel?
Yes, like, you can paint the towel.
Stitch a towel together if you want to. It could be anything that you think of.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You can
Your
mind.
I love it.
I think it's going to be even bigger this year. Yeah. I know Brian wants it to
Brian wants it to be smaller.
But I don't know if that's going to happen.
But I think it'll be even more fun. But it was fun anyways, right?
Yeah, like, it was cool. It was fun.
It was a bunch of people just
It reminds me of something that I just saw that was happening in New York. And I think maybe it's a little bit bigger now, but it was the U-Haul Arts Festival. Do you guys see anything about this?
What's that?
Where people just rented trucks and would park outside of like main streets or big galleries and kind of be adjacent to these venues. Literally build a little gallery inside a U-Haul moving truck.
That's cool.
And sort of have the same vibe as the beach towel, like getting this level of accessibility that you might not otherwise get for the price of, you know, let's say it's $40 to rent a U-Haul for the day. Yeah. And then you just have to, you know, figure out a way to display your artwork.
Awesome.
But like look it up. It was such a cool concept.
I feel like I saw like a clip of that, but like wasn't paying attention. I got to look that up. That sounds awesome.
That sounds same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know,
that reminds me of a museum that, well, it was not really a museum. It was like a building in Montreal where someone paid muralists to go into like the service stairs, right? And paint each floor. During like an art thing that was happening. So people were just like walking to this building just to see people paint, you know, inside the staircase. And it was open to the public. So just something like that.
Yeah. Utilizing those areas that might be, you know, either
hidden away, but the people are using the stairs every day, you know, so bringing art to.
I got to paint a stairwell once. It was great. I had a good time painting it. And I still have people every once in a while, like take a photo, send it to me. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, the flower's still there. It's cool. Still there. That's nice. People still pass by it on their way to work. And, you know, it's a good spot to be in, honestly, as a painter. All right. So got the local spots. Those are both great answers. Would love to get into a little bit of like looking ahead and some advice. So looking ahead, what do you see for the future of this festival?
We keep on being asked if we're going to do something similar in Miami. Mm-hmm. So there might be like a Subtropic 2.0 halfway through the year, you know, so it's like a 6-month thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of same thing, you know? So that's something we look forward to executing with the right partnerships and all things fall into place. The idea of us carrying our films throughout the year is still very much something that we want to do. We hope to take them outside of Florida and bring some of Florida to other places. That would be really cool to do. We are in talks with some people in New York, so hopefully we'll pop in there soon, maybe sometime in February.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to doing the same thing with the Miami Film Festival. And yeah, I think just the continuation of partnering and collaborating and doing these pop-ups with other festivals too. There's an art festival that happens in Gainesville. It's called the Big Art Festival.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That they're inviting us to take some films and screen some films there in April. So I think just that to continue to elevate our artist is what's in store for us.
Nice. Yeah. Year round.
Like
that's great. All right. Well, so some advice maybe, when it comes to the festivals, like there's a lot of moving parts constantly, kind of part art and part business mind, the organization of it all. What is advice that you might have for creatives, who also have to put themselves in that like business organized mode, especially if they want to be a part of an event or a part of building an event?
run. No, I mean, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to shift the creative brain into like logistics or into like, how do we monetize something that we feel so passionate about, mm-hmm. right? Like what do we charge for tickets? How do we make it affordable? Because we don't want artists to not be able to like afford our tickets, right? There's just so many different things. I think the advice honestly is to surround yourself with people that can bring to the table what you know you cannot bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And just accepting that and being like, I am good at this, but I am not great at that. And asking for help and letting people know that you need help with, you know, something very specific and just talking about it, not pretending that you understand it all because we don't. As artists, I think it's hard to understand business sometimes. Our brains are not like programmed like that. So that would be my advice. Just surround yourself with people that can bring to the table what you can't.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice.
Asking for help is like a big part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to like figure out the business side of things because I'll make something and it'll just sit on the shelf and collect dust and be like, well, that's that, on to the next. And it's so being able to ask for help to help with that side of things is something that I'm still figuring out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, I think for artists, for sure, it's creative brain versus.
Because it's a lot of energy that goes into it. And then by the time you're done with something, like you kind of don't care about it anymore because you've just sat with it so long that you want to start the new thing right away. And that's where like someone, if you ever have a good partnership with someone, they could be like, all right, get started on that new thing. We're going to take this thing and do that. But if you don't have it, you got to find the will to do it on your own. So,
and it can be exhausting. It turns you off too. It takes away from focusing on the creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the main reason why you're
there.
And
then you get lost and you're like, all right, well, what am I doing this? Uh-huh. And you start thinking like a business person, like maybe I should make my stuff more like this. And you're like, why am I doing that?
Yeah. The danger crisis of then trying to become palatable or whatever. Yeah.
The identity crisis, you fall into this identity loop of like, wait, but I need to be marketable as a festival or whatever, as an artist. Song,
but they said they can only screen it at a festival if it's this length and it won't fit in this block. Yeah. So I'm just not going to do that again. But you might have had some magic in there that they could have helped you with a project in the future that you could have just like looked back on. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to juggle that business side of it for sure.
For sure. But it sounds like, I mean, the good advice is surrounding yourself with people who can kind of help fill out those areas that you're not feeling as sturdy in.
Like share your struggles.
Yeah.
You know, we need to talk about the struggles so people can help us. Definitely. Otherwise people think we got it.
And I think like you said, with your family too and friends, people are so much more like ready and willing
to help,
to be a part of your success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like there are people, whether you realize or not, in your life right now that are ready to like fight for your next success and be a part of it. So yeah, I think that's great advice to leave with for sure. Well, thank you guys for coming on, for spending some time with me, for sharing about the festival. I'm really excited to see its growth and what it means for our area and the artists here that are local and supporting them. And I appreciate your energy for like championing people and giving them a place to share their stories and amplify these voices. It's excellent. And it's very unique. And it's something that I'm happy to see more of. So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And lastly, last question is an easy one, but where can people, you know, get tickets, find out the details of the festival so that they know how to attend?
Yes. Our Instagram and our Facebook, our Instagram and our website, subtropic.org.
Okay.
And then you can click on tickets and it'll take you to our ticket sales and you can buy tickets for blocks this year. For the first time, we're doing that. So for $10, you can just go see a block of shorts. And then if you want to hang out for the whole day, it's just, I think right now it's like $20 for the day. And our Instagram is at subtropicff.
Okay. Subtropic FF. We got it. And is there any social media for your independent projects that you want to, or website or anything like that that you'd like to share?
I am I am at I_am_sus.
Okay. That's our friend up there. Okay.
Yeah. This guy, that's our ongoing like comedy project.
Okay.
And then at Crux Max is my, my personal page where I post.
Spell Crux Max for
C-R-U-X.
Okay.
M-A-X.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome. Subtropic.org, right? Because we just switched our domain.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, we just became a .org.
Mm. Nice. All right. Well, we will also include these in the caption on YouTube. Sweet. So if people want to find them, they can find them that way. Nice. But yeah, thank you guys again. And thank you to our listeners for checking out this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I definitely hope you check out Subtropic Film Fest and enjoy all of the incredible creativity that our local artists have to offer. And thank you, as always, to the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County, our wonderful sponsor. We couldn't do this show without you. See you next time on the Artie Grawa podcast.